Good evening, Mark. My name is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
First, I just want to say I've done your program for almost 2 years now, and I loved my husband deeply before, but thanks to your program, my love for him has grown tremendously.
Nice to
That being said, we've gone on several dates over the last 4 months. We've even been intimate several times. But during that 4 months, he's also said that he still wants a divorce. I did ask him this last Saturday when he said he wanted the divorce. I said, so you're telling me now that there is zero chance for us to reconcile. His answer was, I don't know. I don't know the future. So my question to you is, how do I proceed from this point forward, or do I just stop, let go, walk away? With that being said, there's no way that I'm going to file any papers.
Right. Now, let me interject something here. I mean, your husband, in at least one way, is a smart man. What do I mean? You asked him, in my opinion, not a very good question. You said to him, are you telling me there's no way that we can reconcile? That's a bad question to ask somebody. That's a mistake. Because you're basically asking them to do an intellectual analysis of the situation. And if you're dealing with an obstinate spouse, which clearly you are, they're going to dig their heels in. They're going to articulate their old position. The more they articulate it, the more invested they are in it, the more reminded they are of it. And more than that, the answer to the question is meaningless because it doesn't matter what your husband says. The answer to the question is, well, what was the question again? The question is, are you telling me there's no chance? The answer is no. That's not what he, that's not the case. How do I know that's not the case? How can I say that? How could I override what he says? Well, I can override what he says because of what he said. He said, I can't tell the future. And that's a brilliant response. What do I mean? Be careful not to interpret your spouse's thoughts, feelings, and decisions as final or permanent. Whatever they're thinking, whatever they're feeling, whatever they've decided, no matter how much conviction they express themselves with, that conviction is what they're feeling about their thoughts and feelings and decisions today. Today, it's not that I doubt your husband or wife that they say they're done. There's no chance, Mort. Okay, I'm not trying to, I'm not saying that's not true today. I'm not saying that that's not an accurate reflection of what's going on for them today. But that may not be the case next week. It may not be the case next month. It may not be the case 3 months from now. That thought, that feeling, that decision, it's not a piece of molded plastic that just came off the assembly line, which is fixed for the next 1,000 years. No, thoughts and feelings and decisions are never fixed. That's the human experience. I'm not speaking about your husband. I'm not speaking about your wife. I'm speaking about everybody on the planet. Thoughts and feelings and decisions, even for the most stubborn person, are things that are in a constant state of flux. Here, I'll prove it to you with the simplest and most obvious example. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when you all stood at the altar or at the chuppah or wherever you were when you got married, your most stubborn husband, your most stubborn wife was in love with you, committed to you, saying that they would never leave you, and thinking that you were going to ride off into the sunset and be happily ever after, and they would never have an affair, separate, divorce, reject you, etc. Well, guess what? They changed their mind. And if they change their mind once, They can change their mind again. We all do it. Look at your own life. Anybody who's old enough, mature enough, experienced enough, wise enough, recognizes the truth in this. And so it doesn't matter, even for those, I mean, your husband happens to be, Lisa, particularly smart in saying, I can't tell the future. Most husbands and wives don't say that. They say, no, you're right, it's over, it's done, we're done, there's no chance, too much has happened, I can't go back. Okay, I believe that's what they're feeling now. But what they'll be feeling a month from now has much more to do with what happens over the next month than it has to do what happened in the previous 10 years. It's the most recent experiences and encounters in our relationship that most affect the quality of our relationship. That's why reconciliations can occur relatively quickly. When I say relatively quickly, what do I mean? Well, let's say that there have been terrible dynamics going on in a marriage for 10 years. It's not unusual. Not unusual. People could be disconnected. They could be treating each other badly. There could be multiple affairs. I mean, all kinds of things could be going on for 10 years. And yet when a reconciliation occurs, generally speaking, it takes anywhere from a few months to a couple of years. Well, how is that possible? Let's take the best case scenario. How is it possible that over the course of a few months, people feel more like Julio and Claudia? I mean, how is it possible that, you know, in a few months they could sort of, you know, undo what they had done to each other over so many years? The answer is because the older history in a relationship counts much less than the newer history. Think about this even in your, you know, in your own life now, with, you know, various people, friends, family, or people at the office, you know. If you had one bad encounter with somebody at the office, you know, it can really dramatically affect how you feel towards that person, even though you may have had years of good experiences, and of course, vice versa. So the answer to the question does not need to be provided by your husband, Lisa. You can answer the question. And it really doesn't matter what he says. Of course there's a chance, as long as you're willing to try. Sometimes people will call me and say, you know, I think we're done. I don't think there's any chance of us getting back together. And as the conversation continues, I will sometimes agree with them. You're right. I think it's over for you. But you know why it's over? You know why I agreed that it's over? Because you think it's over. There's nobody left ready and willing to try. As long as there's somebody remaining that's ready and willing to try, then there's hope, then there's possibility. There's somebody to create interactions that could build goodwill and affect the environment in which that person's thinking and feeling and deciding. But once that person goes away, once the one who was not the obstinate spouse actually becomes despondent and hopeless and stops trying, and they think it's over, well, then they're right. It is over. But it's over not because of anything objective regarding the circumstances. It's over because of something subjective, meaning the fact that they think that it's over is what put the nail in the coffin.